Good morning, everyone. Can we turn our Bibles today? Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, and we'll turn to chapter 15. And this morning, we'll read from chapter 15, Luke 15, verses... Let's see... Why don't we read from verse 11, and we'll read all the way down to verse 19. So Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 19. And the word of God says, "And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.'" Amen. Let's pray this morning. God, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for the truth of your words, Father. And so, God, as we go into your word today, may the truth that is in your word, God, touch our hearts. And so to that end, God, would you just speak through me today? And so I humble myself, Father, just that you would have room today, just God, to speak to us this morning, Father, and that our hearts would be fertile soil, Father, for the truth of your words. So we thank you. We lift up this time to you, and all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this passage is a passage that's quite familiar to most of us. It's from the parable of the prodigal son. So you guys know this story. A son goes to his father, and before the father has even died or is dying at this point, the son says, "Dad, give me the inheritance that I'm due." Basically, he's saying to his dad, "Old man, you're as good as dead to me, so give me whatever I'm due. You're as good as dead to me, so whatever would have happened after you died, I want it right now." And so the father gives the son his money, and the son, taking that money, he gathers it, and he leaves the country and begins to squander it. And we see that towards this end of this story, we see that he has fallen from a state of being not only a privileged heir to kind of like a party boy, and now he is in the state where he is starving on this while taking care of swine. I don't know if any of you have seen the show. There's a show on the Discovery Channel. It's called Man vs. Wild. I don't know if you guys have seen this show. Yeah, it's right. Those of us who have seen it, we enjoy this show a lot. It's a show about this man. His name is Bear Grylls. And basically, the entire show, the premise is very simple. We put him into ridiculous situations, survival situations, and he shows us how to survive. So whether sometimes in the TV show, in the beginning, they'll drop him off of the top of a mountain, or maybe they'll throw him in the middle of the desert, but somehow they put him in whatever ridiculous situation where people usually have a hard time surviving, and he just shows how to survive. Right, so this guy is amazing. You know, he's a man's man, Bear Grylls. You know, not only I'm sure some of the ladies here who know him, you know, he's a good-looking guy, but as a man, you know, when I see him, I'm like, man, this guy is so manly, right? His name is Bear, first of all. You know, and I've seen him do things that most people would have a hard time doing. You know, climbing rock faces without any safety gear. Walking through frigid winter streams without any clothes on, just so that he doesn't get wet, so that he won't freeze to death. In fact, there was this one episode I recently saw. The most recent one I saw was where he invited a celebrity. So he invited a celebrity to come and do his normal survival show with him together. And so this show was with Ben Stiller. I don't know if some of you guys know, he's a famous actor. So he's in pretty good shape. But I remember in this show at a certain point, Bear Grylls is trying to show him, okay, this is how you need to climb up this mountainside. And it's just one rope hanging off the side. There's no grips or anything to hang on to. So he has to just pull himself up by this rope. And, you know, Ben Stiller, being an actor, he's in pretty good shape, but he is suffering, right? He's using all his strength. He's not even acting anymore, you know, because like in a TV show, a little bit of it's acting, some comedy. But right now, he's just trying to breathe. He's like, I don't think I can make it. I don't think I can make it. And Bear Grylls, you know, he's falling right behind Ben Stiller the whole time. One hand pulling himself up with the rope. The other hand is holding a camera, right? And the entire time, Bear Grylls, Ben Stiller is struggling to even get up this rope. Bear Grylls is holding a camera while narrating the whole thing. You know, he has this awesome accent. He's like, oh, it's got to be hard for Ben right now. He must be extremely tired. Most people can't handle this. And he's doing this while pulling himself up with one hand, holding the camera in the other. Right? So this is an incredible guy. And he does some pretty incredible things in the show. But, you know, the most incredible thing that, you know, we look at this and we're like, okay, climbing mountains, sure, that requires training. But the thing that really, I think, sets him apart is the fact that this man will eat anything on this show. He will eat anything. If you've seen him on this show, he'll be saying, let's look for some firewood. And as he's looking for wood, he'll see a tarantula or some kind of weird caterpillar. And he takes out his knife and he just stabs it right through the body. And he goes, these are an excellent source of protein. And he just eats it straight up. No cooking, nothing. He's like, these are good. And he says this phrase. He says, you know, in the wild, you have to do anything and you have to use anything you can to survive, right? This idea that In desperate times, you really have to do desperate measures because you have to do whatever it takes to survive. And when I think of survival, you know, we look at this parable of the prodigal son, and we look at this son, and we see, man, this is what kind of situation he is in. This is as desperate as it gets. He is so desperate. In fact, if we look back at this chapter, especially let's focus on the verse 16 and 17, right? And in 16, it says, and he would have gladly, see that word gladly, he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But then in verse 17, it says this phrase right in the beginning. It says, but when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? Right? And so we see in verse 17, it says, but when he came to his senses, what does that mean for everything that happened before? He was out of his senses, right? He was not in his right sense, right? If we ask this question of, for this young man, when did his bad times begin? When was his moment of desperation? You know, obviously, when we look at it, we can think something obvious like, yes, when he ran out of money, he was desperate. Or when the land went into poverty or went into famine, he began to be desperate, right? Obviously, the moment we look at him, we look at the external need. When he had money, he was fine. But when he ran out of money, that's when his desperation began, right? That's how we think about it in normal cases. But this morning, you know, the thing that I see that when I look at this passage is not when I look at the desperation of this young man and when his desperate times really began. Instead of looking at just the external circumstances of when he ran out of resources, I think the truth of the matter is that this man's desperation, his troubled times, it actually began the moment that he decided or even had the idea where he wanted to leave the Father. Right? Where he wanted to leave the Father. You know, he didn't know it. He didn't know it before. He didn't know that in the protection of his father as an heir, the resources, the money, all these things are not under his control. His father is taking care of all of this for him. And he had to learn this hard lesson that once he got out of that protection, once he left, money all too quickly disappears. And once he learned that, when it disappears, he also learned all too quickly how painful it is even to earn your own bread. Right. And this young man, you know, we look at him and we see, I think we can see shadows of ourselves, because we know that these parables that Jesus talked about, often he would use these stories to really talk about spiritual truths, deep truths about the kingdom of heaven. And we can see here, obviously, you know, for many of us, we know this is a story not just about a man and his son, but really that father is our heavenly father. And this son represents us as sinners, in a point where we had run away from God, when we had been away from God, we had this broken relationship, and where we come back to God. And the son only realizes this in his desperation. He only realizes it when his physical, his outward attributes showed a lack. But you know, instead of looking at this just in terms of salvation, I think this act of us realizing our desperation and going back to the Father is something that happens again and again in our lives, right? This happens again and again in our lives where, you know, for us, I mean, many of us here who are Christians, we know that our best prayer times are always in the moments of our greatest desperation, right? Normal days, you know, we come to EMP, we have a nice day at EMP, we pray during some meals, and then maybe before we sleep, we look at the Bible a little bit, and then as we're lying in our bed, we start praying, and then there's this praying, am I asleep? And then I'm asleep, right? And so that's usually how most of us, you know, we do our daily devotions to God. But imagine in the middle of that, you inject something like a troubled times. You know, if you're a student, that would mean an upcoming exam or interviews for your school, right? If we're looking for jobs, it's a new job interview, you know. Or if we look at, you know, our prayer list as a community, sometimes that means illness in our family or in ourselves, or someone who really needs help, when we're running out of money in our bank accounts, when we have a family to feed but we have no money. And in that moment, I've never met anybody who has gone through all these troubles and they decided, well, I'm just going to keep doing the same thing I've always done. Go to EMP, pray dirt before my meals, and kind of do my quasi-sleep prayer before sleep. No. When it comes to that kind of moment, we become very much like Bear Grylls. Desperate times call for desperate measures, right? Where we start getting on our knees. We start praying every moment because our mind is consumed by this desperation that we have for God in this sudden moment, right? We're on our knees during EMP. In fact, you'll walk up here and you'll be kneeling before the altar in EMP. Afterwards, you'll be going home and praying. You'll be praying along the street. You know, some of us may even go extreme. We're like, I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, God, until you give me the answer to this. In fact, this is the reason why, if you ever know anybody who's fasting, how many people have ever asked somebody, oh, are you going to eat with me? Oh, no, I'm fasting today. And then second question that everybody always asks is, what are you praying for? Right? Because the idea is, and the assumption is, you're fasting because there's something to pray for. Versus saying, well, I'm just fasting today because I'm just fasting. Because I want to be closer with God. I mean, just in a perfectly honest way, you'll rarely get that answer. It's always, I'm praying for a job, I'm praying for something, right? And fasting and praying on our knees and seeking after God constantly, these are things that we do in desperate times. And that's when we end up seeking after God more. That's when we realize, oh, my normal spiritual walk, I need to go after God even more than I normally do, right? And we have this desperate times, desperate measures sort of mentality. But I think like this young man who I said, you know, his desperate times began not only when he ran out of money, but really when he left the father. In the same way, I think for us today is that, you know, these desperate times, these desperate situations, what they really do is, they are not calls for us to have desperate measures to seek after God, but what they really do is they, you know, the thing that makes us so uncomfortable and the thing that makes us so obviously seek after God is because these situations, what they end up doing is they reveal instead our underlying desperation for God. You know, when everything is going okay, we can so easily forget about God. But when situations are going bad, when times are going rough, we realize we have no control. And we really realize in that moment, wow, we can do nothing without God. And it's not that those desperate times require desperate measures, but instead it says those desperate times remind us, oh man, I really need to seek after my Father because I really need my Father for everything, for all good things. And so that today, this morning, I just want to take a look at this son. And, you know, I want to take a look at the son and the, you know, for us, just as a reminder this morning, maybe, you know, what are the things that kept the son from recognizing his desperation for the Father? And maybe in many ways, this will help us to, or remind us today of things that maybe are keeping us from the Father. You know, the first thing is quite obvious. The first thing is that the son just wanted freedom. He had pride, right? He just wanted freedom. You know, the son goes to the father and says, give me my inheritance. And we see what he does with this inheritance. He goes and lives this crazy lifestyle. You know, like you see montages like this all the time in movies, right? Where the young person gets a lot of money and they start, I don't know, buying nice cars with wads of cash, going to nightclubs or something and buying drinks for everybody, right? This is the kind of scene that we imagine for the son. Basically, what the son wanted to say was, Dad, I don't want you to tell me how to spend my money. I want to spend my money however I want to, right? And because the truth is, we have a pride because we want to be self-sufficient. We want to live our life the way we want to, and we don't want anyone to tell us how to live our life, and especially we don't want to be dependent on anyone. Because the opposite of everything that society tells us is to be dependent. We're to be independent. We're to be self-sufficient. We're to be able to do all things on our own. And the idea of having to be dependent on somebody, having to be desperate for somebody else for our help, it's an idea that makes many of us uncomfortable. I don't know if any of you have experienced this, but I've experienced this myself. After having worked for quite a period number of years on my own and being quite independent financially, then having a period where finances are not so easy. And I don't know if you have any of you experienced this, but having to ask your parents for money, for help, after a long while of not having asked, it's a humbling moment, right? Right? Not that my parents humbled me in any way, but it's a humbling moment to have to go to my parents and say, Mom, Dad, I could really use some help. Right? And I think in the same way, you know, if we were to imagine in those desperate times that we experience, that feeling that we have, that, oh my gosh, I can't handle this, I need some help. You know, if we had to imagine having that feeling, nobody would ever want to choose that feeling. And it's our pride that doesn't want to humble ourselves, doesn't want to recognize that and come to God again and again. You know, the second thing I see in the son, and this is the one that we read about in verse 16. It says in 16 that he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating. And the truth was that no one was giving anything to him. And so what do we see is, you know, for this son, not only was he prideful, but later in his lowered state, instead of instantly recognizing there's good bread in my father's home, instead of humbling himself and realizing there's a better thing, his first reaction is to just look at the thing that is right in front of him. The swine pods that are right in front of him, and he looks at that, and he says, that looks delicious to me. Right? And I think for many of us, see, this is something that we know in our hearts, right? How many of us have ever said to ourselves, man, I really need to pray more. I really should read the Word of God more. We say that, and yet, when we're in our commute, when we're in our free time, our first reaction is to be on our phone. Our first reaction is to call a friend. Our first reaction is to chat with somebody. Our first reaction is to listen to music. Very often, we'll do that thing which we're used to, which we enjoy doing, rather than seeking after God. Even though we'll say in our mind, oh yes, praying more is good. And yet, too often, we choose to do something else besides praying. Oh yes, reading the Word of God is good, but how often have we chosen our Facebook news feeds? Or how many of us have chosen our blogs, right, over reading the Word of God? And so not only did pride keep the son from really coming back to the Father and realizing desperation. But the second thing that kept him from realizing how desperate his situation was and kept him from really going after the Father was the fact that too easily he was enticed by the thing that was in front of him, even though that thing was far inferior to the good that was waiting for him. And in all these situations, you know, we realize there's a realization, right? Too easily we forget how the good that we already have is only given to us because of the Father, right? The Father of lights who gives all good and perfect gifts. We too easily recognize that we too easily feel like it's our own achievements, it's our own situations, our own goodness, maybe our own efforts that have created this pleasantness that is all around us, instead of recognizing that all of that comes from a Father who is good and gives his children good gifts. The second thing is that we too easily distract ourselves with swine pods, with things that are more easily accessible or more immediate than things that are better but yet take a little bit more effort, that take humility, that takes seeking after the Father. Yeah. And so maybe we can take that as a reminder today. And maybe this morning we can just kind of close our eyes and just spend just a couple of minutes with God. You know, and ask ourselves this question. You know, and if today we've come here, and, you know, praise God if you've come here this morning and everything is good in my life today. If everything is going great, if work is fine, if my family is all, everyone is healthy and happy, if all these good situations, praise God for that. And yet the truth of that goodness in our life in no way negates our desperation and our need for God today. You know, too often we don't go on our knees to God, we don't fast and we don't seek after God, and we don't come to God with desperation because we don't feel like we are desperate today. But the truth, brothers and sisters, is that how we feel should never be an indication of the truth. How we feel about something is never an indication of the truth of a situation. And the truth is that we are in constant need of God, that is our greatest need, more than hunger, more than even the air that we breathe. We realize that we are a created being, created to worship God, created to be in relationship with God. And so any moment where we don't seek after worship, where we don't seek after relationship, is that fundamental need, that fundamental purpose for which you and I were made, that we are not fulfilling that. And not as a way as condemnation today, but in a way of reminder, just to ask ourselves today, God, am I like this prodigal son? Am I reluctant to be desperate for you, God, today? Am I like this prodigal son, God, where I'm too easily led by the swine pods that are right in front of me, instead of the good bread that you have to offer? So let's just spend a minute. And as we sing this song of worship, and as Sarah leads us in a time of worship, maybe we can ask ourselves these questions and really allow the Spirit to minister to us this morning. Thank you.
oceans deep, my faith will stand, and I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in you.
Beautiful truth it is that the Father, He calls us His beloved. And like the song, He says that we are His. And this morning, let's come to God and let's just really seek after Him. You know, we look at this prodigal son, and the moment that he realized that he needed the Father, the moment that he realized how desperate he was. The truth is that he came to the Father and he was expecting the least. What he was expecting was the bread that the hired men got, the least of his servants, of the Father. And yet if we know the parable of the prodigal son, we know that the result when the son goes back to the father is that in joy in the return of his son, the father throws a grand feast, giving him the fattened calf. So let's go to God today. Let's go to the Father, and you know, even if everything is going well today, let's thank God for that and say, God, in the moments when everything is going well, I need you even more. That I need you to sustain me, especially when things are going well. God, in my troubled times, in my good times, just the same, God, I need you. And let's come before the Father and really seek after his face. That same heart, let's continue to pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering from cancer. We really are in those desperate moments right now and are seeking after just an answer from God. Let's continue to pray for them. Let's continue to pray for them and their families, and continue to pray for healing as well as God's comfort. And let's just continue to lift up our brothers and sisters right now. Let's continue to pray for those in our community who not only need physical healing, but also really need that word of salvation in their lives. Let's continue to pray for God, not only for physical healing, but also for spiritual restoration. Let's also pray for those in our community who are suffering from non-cancer related illnesses, and let's just continue to pray for healing. Let's also pray for those in our community who are looking for work, and just really pray for comfort and for patience as God prepares a place for them. Let's turn to our mission focus today. Let's continue to pray for Hong Kong. Let's continue to lift up our city. Let's continue to lift up the different ministries that are happening through the city, as well as lifting up the government and just the political atmosphere right now. Let's continue to pray for peace and blessing over this city, which God has called us to, and continue to pray blessing over our city. Let's also continue to pray for our missions committee. Let's continue to pray for wisdom, especially as we go forward, for the different ways that God is calling us out into the mission field. So let's just continue to pray for our brothers and sisters. Let's also pray for our local outreach team. Let's continue to pray for our different ministries here at church. Let's continue to pray for wisdom, especially for Janella and Tim as they continue to lead local outreach. And let's just continue to pray for each and every one of our brothers and sisters who are serving, and that God will continue to use us to have an impact on our community. Please also pray for our Friday night evening activities, for our intercessory prayer group that is meeting today, for SPUR College group, as well as our Growing in Christ discipleship course. Let's continue to pray for those who are attending, as well as the leaders of each of these ministries, and continue to pray for wisdom. Let's also pray for the river, which is happening tonight in the lounge. Let's continue to pray for wisdom for the worship leaders, and really pray for the presence of God to rest heavily as they meet tonight. So let's continue to pray for activities tonight. Finally, let's pray for our house churches. Let's pray for McCain and Discovery Bay. Let's continue to pray for these communities. Let's pray for the house church leaders and for fellowship to really happen. So God, we thank you, God. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for what a faithful Father that you are, God. That in our moments when we seek after you, Father, that you are faithful to answer. God, we thank you, Father, for the truth that, God, that even though we may expect the least from you, God, and yet, Father, in your loving kindness, God, that you offer us a feast. And so, God, help us to say, Lord, that in our moments when we go out to our workplaces, when we go out to our schools, when we go out to live our daily lives, God, that we would be reminded in the Spirit again to be desperate for you, for our need of you, Father, and that we would seek after you. And in faith, Father, really in faith, that we declare that we are desperate for you, Father, and that we would really seek after your face, not just in this moment, but Father, throughout our day. So we thank you, God. Would you continue to watch over each and every one of us, God, as we leave this place. We love you, and all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and bless you, and continue to enjoy your time, your quiet time this morning.